Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on April 23rd, 2017, and is entitled, Hope Chapel, Where Lives Are Changed.
And good morning once again, Paul Harmon here. Welcome to Hope Chapel, and I'm the pastor here. So honored, always so honored to bring the message. Today we're actually starting a little mini-series. And that mini-series, we're claiming it basically about the church, but we're going to tag it ourselves, Hope Chapel, Where Lives Are Changed. That is our series we're taking a look at. And this message really kind of came about with this, because this last week I had a birthday, and often I'll sit before the Lord, what is my Bible verse for my birthday this year? And started recalling how my life has changed, and I was just thanking the Lord for that. And then the light bulb came on, and he has used you to change my life. So I want to thank you for that. In other words, it's the church that has influenced and enriched my life. You who are here, those who have been here over the 15 years of my serving in the city, and in particular Hope Chapel, you have influenced and enriched my life, caused me to change. The church that is changing society actually changes people. And that's the message that I want to share. I'm very excited about that. And it's very exciting for me personally to say, wow, Lord, you have used people. So it's not a place where change happens. It's people where those change happen. And you have been influenced by, influencing element by God to change my life. And so it was on my birthday, I recognize that. So how wonderful it is to be together as a church and to talk about ourselves, but the significant role that we see today. So if you'll take a look at the back of your bulletin, I want to encourage you with this. We not only are talking about OSL signups, but also life group signups. How do we get ourselves together so that change can continue to happen? One of the things that I just want to highlight with regards to change, because it's important to recognize that life is dynamic. It really is, isn't it? And I'll tell you, change is one of the things that never changes. There is going to be changes, some good, some not so good, but change happens. And it's important for us to recognize that. Somebody once said that nobody can stop time. And matter of fact, time waits for no one. So even by reason of time, change happens. Things change. Things adjust. And matter of fact, change happens not only around us. Change happens within us. Sometimes that change can come on us in many forms. It could be a dramatic impact that happens all of a sudden. It's a sudden thing that says, man, and then your life is changed forever. Or it can be somewhat of a subtle, incremental kind of change, or can be forceful. So change is going to happen. And when we take a look at just Hope Chapel, where lives are changed, I'm excited about that, because I've seen how God has used you, how God has worked in your lives to work in me. I'm telling you, if you weren't in my life, I would not be the kind of man I am challenged every week, every month, and even every year that I need to be. And I'm grateful to God for you. So I want to tell you that. I'm looking for a Bible verse, and I realize it's God's people that have really been an asset to me. So I'm passing that along. And so when we take a look at change, we're looking at, for the Christian, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's more the change. It's called transformational. It's an inward change that ends up affecting everybody, especially on the outside. And how many know just things will change us as people? You've often heard me talk about how technology is changing us. This little device right here, that little smartphone, well, that's changing the way we just do life, isn't it true? I mean, if you just look on your way home from church and you take a look and stop at a traffic light, just look in the cars. How many people can't wait long enough to look into the screen? Isn't that true? I mean, it's been all of 30 seconds and I got to check my screen. That's a change. It's an amazing phenomenon when you see people that are looking into their smartphone. You want to say, man, that is unusual. Somebody did research and said that the average person will check their screen on their smartphone every 6.5 minutes. Of a waking hours of the day, that's 150 times. You see it even some of our youth. They're doing things and they're checking their smartphone. Somebody's texting you. Now, don't go trying to text me on anything here. Not yet. How's that? There's a phenomenon. I think I have it. Matter of fact, it's a condition. It's a syndrome. It's ring, I'm going to say it wrong, ring anxiety, but it's ring anxious anxiety. But anyway, it's something, it's a phenomenon, it's a vibration of your leg when you think you're actually getting a phone message. Isn't that something? It's actually spelled R-I-N-G-X-I-E-T-Y. Look it up, somebody, and see. Yeah. You become something where you think there is something that's happening on your phone and you're getting a call. So with that, when we look here and we have these unusual things that are happening here, and so even relationships, because of technology, if you've ever seen in a restaurant where people are eating, whole families, they're not really talking, but they're what? They're looking on their screen and just seeing who's needing to know what. So things change. That's just one area that's happening in our lives. And I'm looking here today with you for characteristics of change, how that happens within especially the environment of Christians. And I'd like to start by looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, and let's pray first. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your hand upon our lives and the joy of just being together and seeing and hearing what you're doing through us and among us, especially with missions. So, Lord, open our understanding. We are ready to just hear what you have for us, how change takes place in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's take a look here. First point here on our notes, that change is possible. Can you look at verse 2? Do not be conformed, be transformed. That word transform is the Greek word metamorpho. It has our English form of metamorphosis, where an immature thing becomes mature. In other words, that little sapling becomes something of an adult. It takes on a metamorphosis. And it's interesting because when we look at this, Scripture is saying there's a transformation that will happen with Christians. And I'm excited when that happens to me. When people come to church, whatever the church, I've heard it so often when people are excited how you have arrived here, when you started coming a little bit more than you normally were. When you were coming, it was a big change. You were coming 5 times out of the whole year. We didn't even know you existed, but 5 times in a whole year, that's a change. And people were excited that you arrived. Why? Because they were hoping as you come into church, you might what? Change. They were hoping that something of a breakthrough would happen in their environment and in their relationship. But change. When we look at that word transformation or transform, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let me read that to you. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you can say, I'll be changed by myself, but you know, if you don't get around God's people, that's the beauty of what's happening here. I'm so thrilled that our DNA here at Hope Chapel, we pursue a God who's passionately pursuing people that are hurting and lost in our society. So as we get together, can you imagine a person that just says, I don't really need to be with others. And I'll just get my kind of reading material, my educational understanding from those wonderful information deliverers in television, other areas, but that just becomes a better informed Christian. May you grow really by being with one another and by doing the Word of God. Because once again, Man, the blessings come by doing the word, not hearing only. We don't want to be a forgetful hearer. So it's important when we get a chance to be together, that's where the change takes place. So you can see why I'm excited to encourage us, once again, if you've never been in a discipleship program, OSL, man, please sign up. 5 weeks, how impacting that will be. How about Life Group? Life Group, this is the time to sign up. If you've never been a part of an extra week, day, moment of church, Life Group's where it's at. Let's take a look just a little bit more, because when we talk about metamorphosis or transformation, it's kind of like that tadpole. All of a sudden, immature becomes a frog. How about the caterpillar? Caterpillar takes on that metamorphosis as well, becomes a butterfly. That's really how God's word is laying it out. And in the Greek, it's describing a profound, radical change that happens within the individual. That should be happening. Can you imagine never really having a change on the inside, never really changing as a person, especially as a Christian? So the motivation that brings people into church is really this. Our first point, change is possible. People need to be aware you can change, that there's hope. Everybody wants to know, can anything happen in my life that will develop and change and enrich my life? Everybody that comes into church, and especially Hope Chapel, I'm hoping something happens good in my life. Something changes somehow. Everybody has that desire within them. They're hoping that. We want to remind ourselves, change is possible. Man, you come or you bring somebody as well. So life can be enhanced. It does not matter if you have committed your life to Jesus last month and you completely spun out of control and blown it, and then you come and commit your life again, and then you realize, man, I blew it again. And then next month, you commit your life to Jesus and you blow it again. There can be, and often can happen, people are saying, man, I just want to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Change is possible. And that's what God is all about. We are following a God that says, I'm committed to changing you. We need to make sure people are aware of that. We need to make sure that you're with a group of people. That's you. You get people to hang out with you, and you will see people change in their lives. That's the way God's word lays it out. So we're committed to see God transform us. I'm so glad to be with you. I'm glad we hang together. I'm encouraging you. If you've been here for years and you've never been a part of OSL, can you imagine? There's reasons why we put those programs together, so that transformation takes place. People in your family, in your life, they really would like to see you transformed and not just be the same old, and God's agenda is to change us as well. Let's take a look at the second point on our notes. Change is personal. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 again, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When we look here for a moment, this is where we become personally involved. You are the one, and so am I, to present our bodies to God. But look at Paul as he's writing, the Apostle Paul's writing, verse 1, I beseech you. Literally, we could say he's pleading with us. He's pleading with the Christians. I'm actually asking and appealing to you, please do what I'm asking you to do. And he uses this word, therefore, I beseech you, I'm pleading with you, therefore. And we've been together long enough to know whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, you want to know what it's there for. That's really why. Why did he use therefore? What is it therefore? And it's therefore because of chapter 11. He's talking about some amazing things in chapter 11, and he calls it in verse 1, the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, the mercies of God in chapter 11, let me just list them there. If you were to read it, you would find, man, he says, check out what God has done for you. Justified by faith. You have access to God. How about hope of heaven? The other one, shaped by trials and tribulations. One other one, we have the grace of God that is just overflowing in our direction. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, all in chapter 11. Then he says, both Jews and Gentiles, man, you've got these promises of God. Therefore, how do we respond? Present yourself personally. Personally, give yourself over. God wants to transform you at these things. I beseech you. Therefore, brethren, because the mercies of God I just listed in writing, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So Paul urges his readers to surrender so that God, who can change us, will come along and transform us. Really how it is? We really can't do anything except be in the environment that that takes place. You can imagine saying, well, I'm just going to listen to something, but man, let's do church. And when you get the church out there, you saw in our wonderful presentation all that this world has been impacted by because somebody was transformed and says, I'm going. I am going to help others like I've been helped. That's transformation. That's transformation. That's what we're talking about here. When we take a look and say, man, sign up for life groups. Why? What's that? Because God wants to transform you. Get into a discipleship class. It's today. Why? Because God wants to transform you. God's interested in doing that. I love what J.B. Phillips' translation says about this verse. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but allow God to remake you. Man, would you? Could you? Will I allow God to remake me? It can be a little challenging at times, but it's always pretty awesome. It's your reasonable service. That's why we need to recognize one another. God, you have used the great coaches in our OSL. Lord, you have used the tremendous instructors. We've got some fine, fine, dedicated, outstanding Christians that are very serious about God, great communicators. And you, many of you are able to do that and have done that. So when we take a look at the leadership in our life groups, aka the former mini churches, we've grown together and we need to continue to encourage each other, saying, man, get into these groups. That's where God starts to transform us, like you and I have transformed Pastor Paul. Thank you. Thank you. You say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure if God can do that. What do I have to offer? It's interesting because when God starts to come in, we have seen among ourselves the sky is the limit. We have sent people off into ministry and into other nations. So it has nothing to do with limitations. Matter of fact, Sarah, remember Sarah? She was barren. God gave her a child and a whole entire nation was birthed. You take a look at that in Genesis 17, 1 through 18 and 19. Man, also Moses, remember Moses? He said, I am not eloquent in speech. Please tell my brother to go talk to Pharaoh. He could not and would not sign up because he didn't want to speak. He couldn't speak well. But God says, no, you I'll use. And we have that listed in Exodus chapter 4, 10 through 15. He goes, not only is he speaking to Pharaoh, but he delivers an entire nation. Man, that's transformation. The Apostle Paul, who was Saul, but then named Paul. Paul means small. He was history says, a very small statured man. He even wrote about how some people picked on the way he came across to people because of how they viewed him. And yet he wrote and influenced the known world at that time. Amazing. Amazing. So when we look at change as personal, therefore we want to be able to present ourselves. I don't know, have you ever presented yourself to God? saying, Lord, it's one of those things, it's not just incrementally. It's like, Lord, I'm giving everything to you. Here's my life. Here's my hands. Here's my mouth. Lord, use my feet. In other words, anytime you want, Lord, my life is yours. Man, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Now, I have this kind of, Lord, I give you my life every time I sit into the dentist chair. Have you ever been there? It's like, man, and the dentist comes with that drill, and it's woo, and smoke's coming out of my mouth, and chips are flying, and I have no unconfessed sins when I'm on that chair. And then not only I come out with a new kind of shiny fill, I'm squeaky clean on it spiritually too. But that can happen. So you can, or possibly might have, something of a tragedy, or maybe health, or you're in the emergency, and right away you're saying, oh Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll go to Africa. Can you imagine? I mean, that's really what it's, but sometimes we hold back. We really may not want to change. But God's wanting to transform us. God's wanting to, and it happens among people of God. And it happens at Hope Chapel. Hope Chapel is where people change. We get change and God sends us. We get change and we got to be prepared. You'll be used to help change somebody else that will be sent off to go influence our world and do all the wonderful statistics. Maybe you'll start the next Christian university. Who knows? Maybe you'll start the next great orphanage in another nation. Who knows? Who knows? But you've got to be willing to say, Lord, will you speak to me once again? I'm willing to change. And it starts by saying, I need to be with Christians that pursue you passionately. Like, number three, change is progressional. Verse 2 says, by the renewing of your mind. Can you see that there? By the renewing of your mind. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, it starts right there in the mind. That's where God starts to work. Many times we start thinking things that are totally different. Characteristics of change, it's possible, it's personal, man, it's progressional. The big event that happened in your life is the day that you experienced the new birth. Man, that was like the tsunami that hit. Man, the tidal wave came in, bam! And then change happens like an iceberg. That's called sanctification. It's slow, methodical, it's big, it's big. So you have the event, you get born again, and then the sanctification, slow, takes progress, but it's ever so. It's an amazing thing, but the Bible uses the term here, mind. It also uses the term heart. It has to start right in there. We've seen it also in Proverbs 23:7, where it says so clearly, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember when Jesus used that word too in Matthew Chapter 9, verse 4, he said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Why would somebody think evil in their heart? But he uses that term that we understand, our thinking. Be transformed in your mind. That's where it's going to start. Is God maybe asking you once again to consider getting into an extra church gathering of people because he's wanting to transform you there? Maybe even being a part of somebody to be transformed, especially our OSL. How exciting would that be? I know the beauty of how the Lord just loves it when we express our love to him. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, remember when Jesus says, hey, I just want to remind you now, everything's on this one big command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And here we're seeing in our scripture, be transformed. It begins in your mind. Have you been able to think about those areas saying, Lord, man, I love you enough that I'm willing to let you start to transform me more because I have friends and family that are anticipating since I've been coming to church all these years that I might start taking on a metamorphosis. Say, well, how, where do I go? How do I start? Get with God's people and find the finest that you know are sold out and have surrendered their body, a living sacrifice. Watch what God does. And here's the hard part, though. Call discipline. Call discipline. It requires even some change. Hey, you want to be good at playing the guitar? Take in discipline. You have to invest some time each day. Violin, same thing, each day. Video games, you want to be good at? Each day. You got to invest in time each day. The way it is, you will not. You can't expect results if you don't put in the time. And it's the same with God. When we take a look at people who sign up with our discipleship program, we bring you right back to those things that you know and I know require time. And in the 5 little weeks, you'll be equipped to say, do I want to continue to let God transform me? Because you'll be exposed to ways that simple prayer each day, simple Bible reading each day. You'll be exposed with the requirements of fellowship, which means get into a life group, sign up to a life group. Just during that 5 weeks, be in a life group. Also service. Do something for God. See what great, grand joy comes out of somebody saying, thank you, what you did helped me. And that's part of OSL too. And then evangelism, which is a big scary word, but it literally just simply just invite somebody to church. Invite somebody to sign up for OSL like I'm doing to you. I'll check that off my little list. That's all it is. And transformation takes place in a person's life. Transformation. But it requires something called discipline. All that renewing starts right there in the way that you're thinking. Transformation turns into change. Well, change is possible, change is personal, and then change is progressional. Finally, number 4, change is practical. I'm going to welcome our worship team up. But look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Once again, the last half. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Will you look at that for a moment here? Because God is always practical. I enjoy the Bible so much. It is a practical book. God's word will help you in practical day in and day out life. I'm so thrilled when I get a chance, and it's such an honor for me to share the scriptures with you. Then I realize there's this high water mark that my children that are now adult children, and many of you are no longer in high school, you're now adults, being able to say, apply the scripture. It's very practical. See my own family now teach their little children how practical the Word of God is. Wow, and I'll tell you, it impacts. It impacts. God is practical, the Word is practical, and look what it says here, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friends, the will of God is good and acceptable. Everything that'll happen to a believer is good. And this is how it works. I know this, one of the transformations starts to happen when we start to fall in love with God. At Mark 12:30, love God with everything. When that happens, oh, how many times we've been there. I remember that when my little upstart in Christ, I thought, if it's that good at that church, I'm going to go to 27 churches, a few Christian concerts. I'm going to go to some rad events. I'm going to get pumped. And I couldn't go to enough of them. And I realized I actually have to just engage God myself. And that's when life became grand. Because you can change and flip and adjust and go here and change there. And you come up with the same answer. Got to gauge God. Psalms comes along, and it's in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Isn't that nice? And he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit your way unto him, and he'll bring it to pass. Can I just remind you, How wonderful it is when you're facing decisions to be engaged with God. I know this to be so. God will never leave you. God will never leave you. Matter of fact, I would probably say 70% of decisions you and I face, God says, you pick. No, I'm not going to tell you the will of mine. You pick. You pick. I'll be with you if you go in any direction. Yeah, but I want the best direction. Then give your life wholly to Him. You will find how easy it is to make decisions because you skim off the flack. And it's easy to differentiate between good and evil then. You won't have a decision saying, well, let's go check with the pastor. Maybe he'll have some other roundabout way we can still do this and God will permit it. You go do it. See how it works for you. But when you draw close to God, you delight yourself in the Lord. It starts to give you the desires of your heart. And you start to see clearly the decision you should make. It's so easy when you're close to God. So easy who you want to align your life with. Many times we know what we are about to decide on. And usually we make big decisions when we're at an all-time spiritual low. Don't do that. Don't do that. Get close to God. Our theme this year has that great verse in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I like this verse in Romans 12. Man, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Change is dramatic and it's eternal. And change is one thing that never changes. So it'll determine which way you're going to change. Sometimes we can actually see it before it happens because people become like the object they love. I don't know if you've ever hung around dog lovers. Is that true? They have a Pekingese, they get a Pekingese haircut. You know how that is? They wear dog sweaters. They start eating dog food. Yeah, you must love dogs. Yes, I do. Play tennis with people. They wear tennis sweaters and wear tennis shorts. Oh. Cut their head like a tennis ball. It's like, you must love tennis. Yes, I do. You draw close to Jesus. Start making the decisions that have the heart of God. Very easy. Very easy, that you may prove is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I believe God's been speaking to many of us. We haven't been close to God and making poor choices. He's still with us, but we ache in the process. People are waiting on you. Some of you in high leadership, about ready to break into some great leadership. I'm counting on you. I need you because we're about ready to just send some great things into our society. But we might make poor choices because we haven't been presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Haven't been delighting ourselves in the Lord. Well, where will that happen? How will transformation take place? Guess what? Hope Chapel. This is where people change. Where people change right here. Well, I'm going to invite us to close our Bibles and let's stand. And friends, would you close your eyes with me for a moment? I'm going to be looking though, and I want to just invite you this morning. If you just know the Lord's been moving you to this point of realization, it's time. He wants to change. He wants to transform you. It's what God would desire for any person, but we do our part. Just raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm ready to let the Lord transform me. Just put it. Keep it up high because there's a lot of hands and people might just look to see if their spouse is raising their hand. Thank you, friend. Thank you. Go ahead and put those hands down. I believe the Lord's wanting to do something in us and I'm inviting you. I hope that you can, if you've never been a part of OSL, you really need to do that. It's as if the Apostle Paul is just pleading with you, please. because there's change that God wants to take you to, and I don't want to make another year of it where we miss that transformation. And midweek service called Life Groups. We have our life group leaders. They're going to be handing out cards on your way out and inviting you. And if you already go to one, then pass their card to somebody that didn't get an invitation. But let me pray right now. And we do have people that are here to pray at the platform. Would you station yourself up front? Those who are not life group leaders would be helpful. And if you're needing prayer for anything, boy, please be prepared for that. We would love that. But Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. Lord, we're asking right now, just as we not just conclude this service, but Lord, let it be a fresh beginning of what you're wanting to see happen in our lives personally. Thank you for the young leadership that's on the platform, Lord. They're looking to see what the older generation does, and they'll pattern after such. Lord, help us to lead well by example, not by just wording. Lord, there's a world out there in Huntington Beach. They're looking for the real deal. Help us to lead by example as well. And Lord, when we falter, we just know you're committed to transforming us. So thank you, God. And those hands that have gone up, we now just consecrate. Lord, use for your glory. And may people, Lord, be wonderfully enriched this week to say, I'm going to go big for God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing each person to have a wonderful Sunday, an outstanding week. So many going back into school and maybe possibly going back into work as well. Lord, we thank you for prospering your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. I dismiss you and be encouraged.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.